1 Peter 1:8. Jesus Christ, having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter 1:8. Jesus Christ, having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter 1:8. Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that person is not of him. Romans 8:9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that person is not of him. Romans 8:9. Malachi 3:17. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as man spares his own son that serves him, when I will restore my church according to my promise and proper goods. Malachi 3:17. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them, as a man spares his own son that serves him, when I will restore my church according to my promise, they will be as my own proper goods. Malachi 3:17. You can open your Bibles to Philippians 1:5. We're still in verse 5. Before we get started, let's go ahead and take a moment of silent prayer to get in gear to focus and learn, and just kind of that way we know for sure what we learn is being used in a way that's useful for us to grow in our spiritual lives, where we can actually apply it in an outwardly and inwardly fashion. So let's go ahead and do that now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, so we can continue on this wonderful journey of learning more about your person and about who you are, about what you've done for us. We pray for concentration. We pray for focus today, so we can realize and see and understand what you have for us. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Before I get to the actual lesson, I just wanted to maybe provide a little bit of encouragement. I know we're all believers in Jesus Christ, and part of being a believer in Jesus Christ is the journey. And, you know, a lot of times the journey isn't very easy for a lot of you. I know each one of us have pains, we have difficulties, we have sorrows, and, you know, a lot of Christians don't talk about these things, and that's probably a good thing many times, but the reality is they're still in our lives, and they're still very close to us on a weekly, a daily basis, and there's times when sometimes we feel like we can't even see the other side of these things, or can't, you know, maybe the circumstances is too difficult to even contain. But the reality is, and no one is exempt as Christians. No one is exempt from suffering and pain on this earth. And I was reminded of this week, that we're all in this together. And sometimes it can start to wear you down. So I came across a verse, and you know, this can wear you down even as a faithful believer. As you, each one of you growing spiritually on the road to maturity, it can sometimes get to you. And I came across this verse that I wanted to share that I thought would provide some encouragement as we continue down this road of God's plan for our life. We all know that growing pains are definitely real, but we must also know that there is always a loving God behind what is happening in our lives. So Romans 5:3, and leading up to this verse is talking about, it's telling us the fact that what we have in Christ, that we've been justified by faith, and now we have a peace with God, is what's leading up to Romans 5:3. And not only that, but we have access to His grace by faith. And those things by themselves we can rejoice in. All by themselves, nothing else in this life. If that's all we have and we exist, we can rejoice in that. And then we get to Romans 5:3. First of all, the word for rejoice here means to be proud of what we have. And let's read the verse so we can understand. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And I came across this and I felt like I had to share it with you, and you've probably heard it, but maybe we need to hear it again. So the word rejoice here is something that we should be proud of, something that we should want to go almost have an attitude of to go and tell someone about. Endurance here means the capacity to hold out or to bear up in the face of a difficulty. It means patience. And this is the word we just heard last sermon. It means endurance. It means fortitude, steadfastness, perseverance. The word character here means the experience of going through a test with special reference to the result. It's a process of enduring something that promotes and validates the character of the one undergoing it. So we're not just talking about what we see in the circumstance, even though sometimes that's what happens. All we can see is the pain and the suffering, but it's so much more than that. This is a testing of our character. And when we get through the other side of what we're going through, what happens? Success, blessing, promotion. So, but how are we to know this and have faith in these things? Because the output of endurance and testing, it tells us, is hope. We just had a lesson on hope. These are the things we absolutely know without a doubt are going to happen. When God's word tells us something, hope, guess what? We know it's going to happen without a doubt. Knowing with absolute certainty that God has long before now thought these things through and has given them to us for His glory and our blessing. Suffering is a good thing. Suffering is a good thing. God is paying you very, very close attention. Maybe someone else isn't suffering as much as you are, but you're suffering because God is paying you close attention. And He knows you're growing spiritually, and He knows you're on the path to growing to spiritual maturity. And guess what? We have to be ready for whatever He has in store. So we've got to get sharpened. We've got to get put to the fire, or you're not going to be able to walk on the coals when you get to that point. So, and rest assured in these sufferings, you're not alone. You're not alone. We're all believers. And if you're on this road, if you've chosen to take this path, you're not alone. Every single one of us go through this, whether we talk about it or not, we're in it. No one gets out of this scot-free. If you are in this for the right reasons, then you will be put to the ultimate test. Ultimate test. If you want to peel off, that's fine. But guess what? You've lost out. You're missing out. Things that you will think you can't endure, but you can, because we have a God that cares about you more than we can even understand. And He's designed the suffering not to knock you down, but to cause you to look to Him for the answers and the strength so He can refine and bless you. See, they're designed not for us to bow up to the problem and say, I'm gonna take this and I'm going to ram it. I'm going to knock it down, but with my own strength. They're designed for us to look to the power that we have to take it and take care of it for us and comfort us in this time. And all of these things that are happening, this is not only for our benefit, but it's for our eternal benefit. This suffering right here, right now, is eternal. Not just, ouch, it hurts. This has eternal repercussions for what we're going through now. So, endure the test and rest assured that you will, without a doubt, come out better on the other side. Because why? Because God's word says so. That's why. That's our hope. Remember, hope equals reality. That's what we just heard. We have three of them that we just heard about. And that covers our entire lives throughout eternity. So, encouragement. I feel like God gives us a break on Sundays. He eases up the pain a little so we can fellowship with each other and enjoy what we have in Him and reflect. So last time we looked at fellowship in relation to the Trinity, and I know I mentioned leaving it behind, but it seems like each time I have time to study, I just can't seem to leave things alone. So there is, I'm not going to review, but I do have some review in here, but there is mostly new information. So we saw that fellowship with God the Father included, remember, the practice of doctrine. Remember, this is from 1 John 1:6. This is when God has become more important to you than any other physical thing in this world, and this includes people and circumstances. When God's word, God is number one in your life, is the only time this will actually take effect. This includes the one we're in now. What a great circumstance to allow the word of God to come through in your life is in these circumstances right now, because our country isn't doing as good as it has before. We all can see that. So this is a great time to say, what's important in my life and how is my life reflecting that? And let's see. So I use the phrase when God is important to you, but if you ask any believer if God is important to you, they will say yes. And maybe I should rephrase that. This is referring to an importance that is defined by the Word of God Himself. And the way that we should look at this is, what should be important to us is God and His Word. But what does that mean? It's adherence to following His Word is what it is. And not just following it when I feel like it. It's following it consistently. Actions speak louder than words, don't they? When you have a problem and you're looking in all directions on advice or how to fix the problem, go here. Is the number one priority in your life the Word of God? If it's not, maybe that's a good start. So keep here means a strict adherence and also to persist in obedience. Sound too difficult? It's not. Strict adherence and also a persistence in that obedience. That should be our goal. That should be our desire. And that should be, we need to ask ourselves, if that is not our priority, what is holding you back? What's holding you back? Because remember I said what must take priority is God over circumstances. What we see every single day that sometimes rises above the top. If we can't strictly adhere to His Word or persist in obedience, we need to check ourselves. We need to examine ourselves and say, where is the holdup here? So when God's Word and your spiritual life are top priority, this is what transforms your thinking first. Remember fellowship with the Son. That was our transformation of thinking. And secondly, a change in the external lifestyle. This is your lifestyle. This is your dealings with people, circumstances, how you treat others in grace, in humility, and not in arrogance. That's the external. And sometimes that can be hard. People, you know, people are tests. People are the biggest tests you'll ever have in your life. People. People tests. Not your dogs or your cats. They just want to take a nap. So, the lifestyle change, and all that really is simply a reflection of the contents of your soul. That's what we're talking about. When you are consistently growing spiritually, growing on the road of maturity, you can't help it. It just comes out in your life. With your everyone around you, it comes out because it's been given to you and God will keep giving it to you. Because that's the way grace works. If you want it, you're going to get it. And He's going to keep feeding you and keep feeding you and keep feeding you. And also on the flip side of that, if you don't want it, He's not obligated to make you sit here and listen. Even though He would love to do that. Because why? Because He loves you. But He still gives us free will. Freedom to choose yes or to choose no. Even though we have variables influencing our decision, guess what? The bottom line is that decision is truly free at the end of the day. So when God's Word becomes that real to you in your life, that's when we can expect a change. So notice what comes first. We go from the invisible change to the visible change. And this is also your maximized production of divine good and personal love for God. So fellowship with the Father is the result of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, which is filling of the Holy Spirit, and fellowship with the Son through spiritual growth. If you remember, these were all linked together. Remember? So fellowship with God the Son is the process of responding to our personal, and I say personal because I want to bring out the meaning of the word, our personal calling as believers in Christ. And that's from 1 Corinthians 1:9. So remember the word kaleo is not only a personal call designed specifically for you as an individual person and your life, that fits your circumstance, where you are in life, and it fits your personality, but it's an invitation to receive special benefit or experience. This is our invitation. When we become believers, God is inviting you to take part in this experience of benefits. That's what really what's happening here. He's inviting us to join Him. in His grace and His power and every divine attribute to give to us at our disposal, to give it to us. We have Him. That's the invitation. That's the calling. So the benefits we experience are what? Many blessings we receive on this earth and also in eternity. Now that's something to look forward to. So the idea that imperfect people can have even anything to do with God's benefit is just mind-boggling. But this is just what Christ did when He opened the door for us when He died on the cross for our behalf. So we now have access to this. How can you not respond? Would be my question. How can we not? And it's sad to see when people go negative to the Word. It really is. This response is our consistent positive volition towards what? Coming to know the person and work of Christ. That's what really it's all about. We are here because we want to know the person who gave us the opportunity to be here. How do we do that? We come to know Christ through His Word in the consistent intake of Bible teaching. So, and what's the natural result of that? We begin to take on His thinking, which we are commanded to do. Remember, we are commanded to think with the mind of Christ. And this is what fellowship with Christ, with the Son, actually is referring to. Taking on His thinking. And this is continual fellowship with the Son is a result of your continued fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So we essentially can't have one of these without the other. We can't leave off fellowship with the Holy Spirit and think we're going to grow spiritually. We can't leave out growing spiritually and think we're going to always be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and maintenance of our sins through fellowship. It's not going to happen. Because if you're not growing spiritually, you're not going to have the remembrance, the capability to recall that I should keep my sins in check. It'll just be open-ended. A day will go by, 2 days will go by, 3 days will go by, and guess what happens? The decisions get worse and worse, and they have more of an impact on your life. So, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We saw that fellowship with the Holy Spirit is about what's controlling your life. Or we call that being filled by the Holy Spirit. Who's controlling your thoughts and your actions? That's what this is about, remember? So, what is the power or the influence in your life? We can only be controlled by two things. And this we remember. Sin nature or the Holy Spirit. There's no in between. And I had to remind myself that fellowship has to do with participation. Participation. You guys remember that? We have to participate fully. Not just what I define as the Christian way of life. There's so many people that want to define the Christian way of life. If I'm a good person and I do this X, Y, Z, that's what's pleasing to God. But we've ignored His Word. What does His Word tell us? He wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about what you do. It's about what you think. So, and remember, fellowship with the Holy Spirit has to do with keeping short accounts of sins through confession, which was 1 John 1:9. And this is not an excuse to sin, as some people take it. 1 John 2 tells us that this is not an excuse to sin, but to regain the Holy Spirit's control in your life. That's what it's used for. So this is why dealing with sin in our lives is the base entry point of fellowship throughout your life. Because it's impossible to be in fellowship with any other member of the Trinity without maintenance of sin through confession. Impossible. So, you know, it's funny how dependent we are as people. We're so dependent, aren't we? We're so dependent. When we start to think we're even getting good at something, God would let you know how much humility you need in that situation. We're dependent on everything. And we're dependent on everything in the spiritual, without a doubt, absolutely. Dependence. Or just think about the functions of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. We know He's a helper. He's the guide. He's the teacher. And He's the counselor of every single believer. I don't know about you, but I want that. I need that. Who doesn't want help? We all need help. Galatians 5:17 says, and this verse, the reason why it's here is because it's showing us the contrast of what we're talking about when we're talking about fellowship versus sin, our sin nature. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So the word against here is a position or a state of mind that is completely contrary to another position or state of mind. Completely and totally. This is like oil and water in a jar. Your sin nature and the Holy Spirit are in opposition to each other. And we choose to oppose the Holy Spirit. Now, opposition is not just saying, I disagree. This is absolutely being against everything and everything we stand for once we are in that position. Whether it's motivation, whether it's actions, whether it's how we function in our lives, the Holy Spirit is against it if we are not in fellowship. So the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. Enemies, opponents, just different ways of thinking. So when we choose to oppose the Spirit, and we do, because we all have a sin nature, and we're not immune to, we all sin, even though it might become less of an issue in your life, sin will continue to be a part of your life until you depart this earth. But when we choose to do this, what else do we also choose? We choose to forego the functions of the Holy Spirit. All the functions that we just said. We choose to forego the help, the guidance, the instructance, the counsel, the mentorship, the recall in our lives. These are the things we're pushing aside. So God's system requires divine power, which we are incapable of producing without the Holy Spirit. But like anything else in the spiritual life, God provides everything at our fingertips. It's so readily available, isn't it? When we think about the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, how we can get from point A to B, it's all so accessible. But these resources can also be rejected. They can be rejected. Sad but true. Which is where God's justice must take action in the form of divine discipline. So when we decide to reject, that is completely and totally legal. We can do that in the eyes of God. His justice allows volition to oppose Him. He allows that volition to step in and say, I don't want you. I don't want to have anything to do with you. But His justice must also take action in disciplinary form. Now, is that a bad thing? Not at all. Why? Because what is He trying to do? He's trying to get you back on track. He wants you to get back on track. So Remember, one of the definitions of koinonia was participation, which we said. And many of the translations use this. And that is a good translation, because when we think about fellowship with the Trinity, our participation is required throughout the process. So we actually do have a responsibility to participate. And that's a good definition, participation, fellowship. Another thing about the word here is that it's in the dative case, which indicates the advantage of those involved. Now, both individually and collectively. So remember, this is what Paul is, he's remembering these things. He's recalling them, and he's so thankful for this. And this is what a pastor is talking about. Previously, our pastor just talked about. What is he thankful for? Your spiritual growth. When everybody's in sync and in fellowship and growing, a pastor has joy. This is our ultimate desire, that you grow to spiritual maturity. This is what Paul is feeling right here. He knows everybody's in sync, everybody's utilizing everything that they should, and they're in fellowship. He's so thankful for that. You know how many problems that deters? From the get-go, just following the Word of God, loving the Lord. That's all it is. So, but, you know, with the advantage, of course, there's the natural disadvantage for not taking part. And I think we covered some of that. But part of this, as we partly mentioned, and Paul has this joy. One of the reasons for this joy is because Paul realizes and he knows that the Philippians made their own decision to participate. He didn't force them. He didn't tie their hands behind their back. He just presented the information and they took it and they applied it to their lives and they grew spiritually. This is our desire, but we cannot do it for you. This is our role that God has given us for one reason, for you to grow spiritually. So why wouldn't I have a passion, a desire to see you grow? That's my deepest desire, and I know our pastor is too. Every one of our associate pastors. We wouldn't be up here. We wouldn't be up here if we didn't realize why we're here. Because we care about what's happening in your life. And if you've been given something, you better realize what it's for and why you're here. And that includes what you have too, a spiritual gift, every single one of you. So part of Paul's joy is realizing that they made their own decision to participate. Paul didn't coerce or manipulate or even mandate. Remember, we always talk about mandates. It's not for me, it's from the imperative case, from the Word of God. So, but he provided the information and he was able to see the positive volition of the people. Now that's what's satisfying. Positive volition of the people. When you can finally get to the point where you can relax and just sit down and just absorb the Word of God, there is nothing better than that. There is absolutely nothing better than that. And you won't be able to do that until you lose the hang-ups. And that just takes time. So keep it going. Keep it going. Freedom to choose. When we don't put the spiritual emphasis over the people emphasis, what do you end up with? You end up with a counterfeit fellowship, which always produces dead works. A counterfeit fellowship. See, that's when the priorities shift. Number one and number two shift. Shift roles. And when we are oriented to people relationship over Christ relationship, our works are also geared towards pleasing people and self and not Christ. Last time I checked, that's a problem. That's a big problem. We don't want that. And because of the wrong emphasis here, now this is an easy mistake. We deal with people every day. We sometimes fall into this not by, sometimes it's very subtle. It happens. But because of the wrong emphasis that we put, you look to other people to relieve the pressure in your life. You look to the other people to relieve the pressure, whether just to talk about it or make you feel good about it, or you get the point. And what these kind of things usually end up in is unreasonable requests from other people. And why is that? Because you've taken the volition out. We must always leave the freedom to decide in our spiritual lives. Always. When you take freedom to decide out, guess what you leave out? Grace. Grace always includes freedom. And that freedom has to do directly with your volition. We must always leave people's decisioning process free, untouched. Whether that includes many things in life. You name it. But that's one of the issues with this thing. Without enough truth in your soul, you will fall for these unreasonable requests. You'll fall for them because you won't see it. You won't know any better. So it's just something that, okay, you fall in line with these kind of things. And what could have been divine good ends up being dead works for many more people than it should have. Why? Because all of them are coming from the wrong motivation. That's not the correct motivation. We want to be motivated by the Holy Spirit and glorifying God, not by because someone told you to do it. Do you see what I'm saying? So making something that could have been done from freedom can be easily twisted. And, you know, I understand sometimes that results from good intentions or many things. But I just wanted to make the point. So all legitimate Christian service is a result of fellowship, of walking in the Spirit, growing in grace and knowledge, and practicing the doctrine that we learn. So fellowship does require your participation, but always, always in freedom and the privacy of your own soul to choose to do so. That's a key thing. Freedom and privacy go hand in hand. Every person should have privacy to choose and the freedom to do so without coercion, without influence, without any of those things by me or anyone else. Allow them to grow. This is an important concept. We could go off on another tangent on that, but I won't. So, the freedom to choose is a great thing, because the fact that we give that to other people freely is why? Because it's been given to us, right? It's because God has given us the freedom to choose for or against Him. So we have to give others the freedom to choose for or against you. Except our kids. They don't always get the freedoms that they think they should have. So he provides the resources, but throughout the process, we must choose to be an effective Christian. Choose, decide. Always decide in the right direction. So let's get a few characteristics of Christian fellowship. In fellowship, there is always a willingness to contribute resources that are provided in grace. Now, notice that's two-sided. there's always a willingness to contribute resources that are provided in grace. There's a lot in that statement. God is willing to contribute the resources, and they're provided in grace. And when we are in fellowship with God and we are in fellowship with other Christians, guess what we are to do? We are also willing to contribute resources that also are provided in grace. There is nothing more comforting than to know another Christian that has a doctrinal mind frame that you can go to and talk to and know that you are on the same page. Whether it's a problem you're having, a difficulty, there's not many people you can go to that will not take what you tell them and just go the opposite direction with it and not help you whatsoever. But when you have someone that's on the same page growing spiritually, there's nothing like it in the world. There's nothing like it in the world. Why? Because they can see where you're at. They know where you're coming from. And they are willing to contribute not what they have, but what God has given them from a doctrinal perspective. They want to give that to you so you can see things differently and you can change. Maybe it'll help you get out of the circumstance that you're in. Maybe the little bit of the God's word that is brought forth can help you. Not a negative, a complaining, a let's talk about this. No, a doctrinal mind frame in fellowship. And also, part of this relationship is grace. Grace. Willing to contribute resources that are provided in grace. When something is given to you that's so important, give it away. Give it away. Just give it away. I mean, what's the point in keep holding on to something that's so important and that can help someone out so tremendously? Why hold on to that? Just give it away. It's been given to us as God's gift, and He wants you, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's your friend that's not on board with all this, you know, church stuff, give it away. Give it to them. You don't have to preach to them. Just influence them. Not from a personal, physical perspective, but from the perspective of the Word of God. Influence their lives. That's what we need to give away. That's the grace. We keep getting it. We keep coming to the trough and it's full of food every single time I get here. So why don't we just give it to them? They need it so bad. So many people need the Word of God. So many people. You know, you are the minority in this group. You. There's not very many believers like you in the world. Positive, focused. We need to influence people. What does that mean? Why do you do what you do? How can you help this other person in their life? How can you help them see things differently? Not the way they're seeing it, because the way they're seeing it, there is no hope. And they may even be a believer. But because they've gone a different direction. So we need to get creative. We need to think about these things, how to influence people, how to get on their level. And this is one of the things that we're going to talk about when we talk about the gospel. Part of the gospel message is getting on their level. Do you think that's always on in Florida on the beach? No. No. It's not. The weather's not always great. The circumstances aren't always good. The person isn't always pleasant. You name it. When we get in a situation with an unbeliever, you have to get in the situation too. And whatever that takes, you need to do it. And we'll bring that out more because there's passages that talk about this. So the bond and unity that holds both parties together in fellowship is what? Well, it's the relationship of the fellowship with God. It's the relationship that we have. That's what holds us together as believers in Jesus Christ. We all have hang-ups. I've got hang-ups. You all have hang-ups. But guess what? Who cares? We all have got a sin nature, right? The one thing that holds us together is fellowship with God. Everything else doesn't even matter. If you can get to that priority, top priority number one, guess what? Nothing matters. The bond is what holds us together. The unity holds us together. That's the same mindset that we all have. So when we can have true divine fellowship first, we can have true, only then can we have true fellowship with other Christians. So, I think that's a good place to stop. I can see everybody's getting a little fidgety. So, let's go ahead and stop there. And then next time we'll talk about some of the results of being out of fellowship. And then we'll also get into euangelion, which is the gospel message. And that was a great story we heard earlier because it so illustrates the gospel. It's beautiful. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we once again thank you, as always, unceasingly, for your grace. Thank you so much for providing the food, the spiritual food available to us all, so we can take it from here and just run with it. Use it, think with it, change people's lives with it, glorify you. Thank you so much. And most of all, thank you for salvation. We thank you for the way you provided it. We thank you for the way we have access to it. And most of all, we thank you that sin is not an issue when it comes to salvation. The way we live our lives is not an issue when it comes to salvation. The only issue, according to your word, is what we think about Jesus Christ. Not what we did or what we're going to do or what we've done. It's not about that. It has nothing to do with that. You told us, by grace we are saved through faith, and that is not of ourselves at all. It's a gift. And a gift is accepted by faith, belief. What do you believe? All you need to do is accept the person and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's it. You're a believer in Jesus Christ and you have eternity to spend with Him. Thank you for that opportunity. And we pray for the rest of this day and week that we can continue on the march and persevere and have the patience and look to you in all circumstances. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Whew. Thank you.